Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. We're back here for another Mailbag Monday. We've got some great stuff in the mail, Angel. What have we got today?
Well, we've got some great questions. So let's just dive in. Joe, what are your thoughts on public versus private school? We don't want to make decisions out of fear, but every day we hear more about how schools are getting more and more ungodly.
Well, that's the $64,000 question. Now, personally, people ask me, so what did you do? So, well, my kids all went to a Christian school. I homeschooled my son for about 8 years. He was the youngest, and I was traveling a lot, and I was on the road now, so I wanted to spend more time with him. So I homeschooled him for 8 years, and then I put him back in a ninth grade back in school. But
How did you do? Was he with the other students?
No, he was way off base. I did
like way behind.
I did real good on math and science. I didn't do anything hardly on history or English, and so he struggled with that. But he finally caught up, and he did real good at the end. So I didn't feel bad. Anyhow, I used to teach. There was a great professor, Dallas Theological Seminary. Wrote a book about. He had three kids. One went to public school, one went to private school, one went to Christian school. Uh-huh. He said, I did that because I did what was best for them individually.
Okay.
So, you know, one kid thrived in public school, had more stuff to do, more activities, very involved, didn't mess with them at all. One, the Christian school, they thrived there. It was just a more controlled atmosphere. My homeschool kid, I needed to be with him, and I knew it. And so turned out really good. He said, in the long term, all graduated, all went to college, all did really good. He said, but they all needed something different. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the best books I probably ever read. So every year as a school administrator, on the Monday night before school started, I would do a Christian school seminar. This is who we are, what we do, what we don't do. This is public school seminar on Tuesday night. Here's what public school can and cannot do for you. Don't ask to do things they can't do. And then we did a homeschool seminar on Thursday night. People would challenge me, what do you believe in? I said, I believe in education. Mm-hmm. I believe in education. And I get it any way you can. So I'm still of that mindset. Go where the best is. And if you don't have it good in your community, I mean, find somewhere you can get it. So
that's the thing. Today we have so many options. Man. My kids are grown now. But even the other day I was watching and there was a commercial about taking public school online that you can do.
Yes.
The thing is, it's a personal choice, personal choice. Yes. And people have very strong opinions about it.
Yes, they do.
So I just think you should be praying and ask God for direction. But, you know, you got that great book you wrote, God Knows How to Raise Your Kids Even If You Don't.
Yep.
Sometimes it's a financial question, and you have no choice but to go to public school. And if that's the case, God still has a plan.
Yes, he does.
He knows exactly, you know, what's going on with your family. He has the best in store for them. So there's lots of options. So, you know, if you don't have peace about it, then that's probably not the option you should go down.
Follow after peace, as the Bible says. Now, I had a lady challenge me that first year. She stood up, and we were doing questions and answers the week before school started. This began, I'm a mother of five children, and I'm a single parent. I can't afford to put my kids in Christian school. What can I do? And I said, ma'am, I don't know. You have to put them in public school. I said, there's not an option. It's not even something you have to pray about. Mm-hmm. Your kids need to go to school somewhere.
Right.
So, and if you do, I used to tell people in public school, go volunteer, be a homeroom mother, go on field trips, you know, show up. Don't protest stuff. Don't picket. Don't write nasty letters. Go be a blessing. And so it'll turn out good. God knows where you're at, what you need. He'll be with you. God said, I'll surround the righteous with divine favor. You got favor regardless of where you're at.
Good. All right, Joe, I like this one. My wife seems to have an opinion on nearly everything and just has to voice it. Is that just her personality thing or is it a woman thing? danger, danger. Be careful what you say.
No, that's a personality thing. That's not a woman thing. Some women are quiet and they don't have much opinion of anything. That's just a personality thing. And it came with the package. And when you opened it up, it was in the box. So, and evidently you have the anointing to handle that.
Well, there are, yes, it is a personality thing, but there are people. Okay, the other day, I never watched Dr. Phil, but I was watching him the other day, and he had on this family that was all fighting together, and he would get the family. He was negotiating to try to bring peace, so he would get them almost there, and this one woman would just say the biggest dig that would get them all flared up again. And he finally turned and says, "You have the worst timing ever." He said, and what did he say? Something about, like, my dad always says, you can never learn enough how to keep your mouth shut.
That's true. And, that's true.
So, you know, that is, yeah, I'm sure you were not, you can't be completely surprised unless you married very fast that she had an opinion.
Yeah, and you got to go back to Proverbs, you know, about all the scriptures about the mouth and the tongue. You know, be slow to speak, quick to hear. Slow to speak, quick to hear. Two ears and one mouth. If you're talking more than you're listening, you're creating a war zone. It's not going to be much fun. So
right.
You're doing it to yourself. So learn to shut your mouth. You don't have to have an opinion about everything. Just listen. Nod your head. Smile a lot. Don't jump in every time.
Even the fool looks wise
if he can control his tongue. Oh, Lord have mercy there. Put that on a plaque.
All right. Joe, do you have any tips on keeping your kids from feeling entitled? We've both failed at this.
Next question. Let's move on down. What's the next question?
I'm just kidding. Here, I'm going to continue. I'm not done with the question. We see a lot of this in other people's kids and don't want that for ours. They're still very young, and I would like them to appreciate what they have. This may seem like a simple question, but we would love your insight.
There's one great answer. Teach them how to serve. Start at home. I always made sure all of our kids had you had jobs to do. You had chores. I don't care if you came home from school. You're doing the dishes. You do the laundry. You know, you're washing the bathroom floor. You're cleaning the toilet, and you've got that job every day. What's your job? You're the toilet cleaner in my family. You're going to keep that toilet clean. There's the brush. There's the comet. Get that thing cleaned every day. Same thing. You're doing the laundry day. Oh, it's not my turn. I don't care. You don't have turns. That's your job. So I assigned specific jobs where I thought they'd thrive. And I said, you know, the washing and dryer, there's two big boxes. I mean, if you can run a big old computer, you can run these two big boxes. They just have two buttons on them. So learn how to wash and dry clothes. And so make sure they've got something to do at home. Kids that are usually have that attitude, they didn't have any responsibilities. I've talked to so many parents, you know, they turn their kid's bedroom into an apartment. They have their own TV, their own CD player, their own radio, their iPhone. I said, gut that bedroom out. Nothing should be in the bedroom except a bed. God designed the human to sleep a third of their life. Go to bed and go to sleep. Don't sit up watching TV to 3 o'clock in the morning or talking on the cell phone. So all of our kids, all their bedrooms, there was nothing electronic. And they went to bed at night. All their bedrooms were upstairs. Put the cell phone on the kitchen counter. You're not taking that cell phone in the bedroom with you. Because if you talk to somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to say something stupid. And all those phone calls are permanent record. They're recorded somewhere. You think nobody's listening. No, there's a computer that just recorded everything you said on that cell phone. So try to set a place where the bedroom's a place to sleep, not an entertainment room. And so you know how to set boundaries. Just set boundaries.
Well, and I was kidding when I said that earlier about our kids. One of the things that I have observed, you know, we come from a generation. I mean, I can remember my mom every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
Get up. We got work to do. You can't sleep in.
No,
laziness.
Saturday we sleep in. No, that's the sleep in.
That's the laziness. Laziness is of the devil. I can remember hearing that.
Woo.
And we clean baseboards. And one time I made the mistake of saying, I'm bored. Ooh, that was a bad
only
mistake.
Only once. Can
my
you
kids
say that?
Made that same mistake, and I passed that on.
Woo!
But, you know, I don't know if it's the influence of the media, television, how kids are so sarcastic and talk back to their parents, or what has happened in a generation, or that we went from one extreme, I don't want to be that hard on my kids, and we've gone to another extreme.
Coming out of the 60s, parents thought, I mean, we come out of the hippie movement, and I was born in 51, so I came in another generation, so the hippie movement didn't touch me. I'm in the middle of the country. We don't even know what a hippie is. Nobody in my school had long hair. We didn't know what that was. My senior year, the worst thing ever happened was somebody get drunk. We didn't know what dope was. We never heard of drugs or anything. We're just a bunch of ignorant rednecks. But as you go older, man, pretty soon my school that I graduated from 10 years later, it was a mess. They had drug problems and violence problems. Like, it was a mess.
Right. We have been very you're going down a trail. I'm back at the question.
Go back to the question.
Okay. So, but anyway, they have been, we have made mistakes and entitled these kids. I agree with Joe completely. My kids both got jobs. My daughter worked for a chicken place, came home smelling like fried chicken. My son had to push carts in the parking lot. To this day, he's 26. Now, if you go to the grocery store anywhere with him, he will go and round up every cart because he feels such compassion for the cart guys. But, that is true. And I remember now one time in college, my son got a little, I don't know if it was because he was hanging around, he got a little entitled. And I told him, hey, son, I want to tell you, I owe no man anything but to love him. And I love you very much. But you're a man now, And so he got it. And that from that day to this, he's never ask me for money or anything. And
they've done really good. I used to tell my kids, I am not Santa Claus stuck upside down in your chimney. I'm your parent. And the goal is to get you out of the house. And you got to, I'm trying to teach you how to be responsible,
Yeah.
And it's time to grow up. You're going to have a life and you're going to have responsibilities. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall down. You're going to get back up. That's what we do in life.
But I agree. Chores, responsibilities,
I had a thing I said all the time. I want my children busy, tired, and happy.
Mm-hmm.
We come home, you don't have any spare time. You just want to go to bed. Mom, can I go to bed? Dad, can I go to sleep? Sure. Go take a nap. Because we kept involved in sports and music, things at school. People would judge us from time to time. They'd say, you don't have any home life. I said, no, I have children. I have six of them. We're busy. We don't go home. If we go home, the dishes are stacked up. Laundry's piled up, and everything's been toilets are backed up, and we're not home much. I said, but this is a season, and this is going to pass one day. My kids are very important right now. We're going to spend time with them, go to the ball games, eat a lot of nachos and hot dogs, and put on a lot of extra weight, belch a lot when we go to sleep. But we're going to be with the kids. I want mm-hmm. them to be very busy. I want them involved with other children. You're not the only person on this planet. That's why I want them all to play sports or be in music. You're not the only human on this planet. There are other humans. You get used to that. Because mm-hmm. the minute you get arrogant, nobody's going to like you. Mm-hmm. So you're going to learn how to participate and serve other people. And so it was a good lesson. Great, great lesson.
Yeah, it really, really is. And, the thing is, if you don't give them responsibility, you hurt them.
Sure.
Statistics now say most of these kids in this generation don't know how to do laundry,
mm-mm.
don't know how to cook, don't know how to do basic life skills, and it's hurt a generation. Matter of fact, because when they took home ec and stuff like that out of schools.
I know.
Because I remember I had to take wood shop, metal shop, home ec. And
I was a guy, and I took home ec in the ninth grade in public school. I took, why? Every boy was required to take it.
Yeah.
Because eventually you got to get up, and you got to learn how to boil an egg, cook something. You can own your own eventually.
Well, and I don't know if this is true in every state, but in Florida, they're bringing it back.
Really?
Yeah, I think is awesome because, instill skills that people need to live.
They're going to need them.
Hey, Joe, in these last few minutes, let's talk about, when couples fight in front of other people in public. Why is that funny?
Well, you can't believe you became an adult and you didn't learn that back when you were five. Here you are 40 and you're fighting in public, letting your mind just run everywhere. It's like, that's just real embarrassing.
Have you ever fought in public?
Not me. Not me, ma'am. No, ma'am. I came up in a southern home.
Where your grandma would...
You would get your nose slapped down next to your ear. You didn't do that. You be polite in public. You don't state your opinion. And so grew up in a different time and different season where, and we have in our marriage seminar, we have, 10 ways to have a fair fight. One is you do not ever correct your spouse in public. I think it's number 6 and number 7 on my list. Don't ever correct your spouse. You get them one-on-one, alone, then say what you need to say, but not in front of other people. I'm mm-hmm. not trying to embarrass you because whatever you were trying to win, you just lost big time by correcting them in public. And that's just immature. And we've taught that in our marriage seminars. You get on your spouse in public and running your mouth, you just made yourself look like a thumb-sucking 2-year-old. you didn't win anything.
Right.
Everybody that heard you, and we've done it before because when I was my first wife, she would, if she had an opinion, it came out of her mouth quick. So we had to learn how to, I just learned to be real quiet. Whatever she said, you're right. I'll correct you when I get you home, but right now, you're right, whatever you say. Praise God.
Well, I think it's so degrading.
Very.
To fight in public to the spouse. And it's disrespectful. And for man, being disrespected is enormous. And plus it makes everybody uncomfortable in the surrounding area.
Well, it is the epitome. It's a billboard of immaturity. An adult that runs their mouth in public, you just made yourself look like the north end of a southbound mule. Whatever you think you just won, no, you didn't. You just look really stupid. Mm-hmm. Now, they won't say it to your face. They'll talk about you behind your back when you leave the room or when you get out of wherever you're at. And you mm-hmm. think, I won something. No, you didn't. You just look stupid. Only 5-year-old people do that. Keep your mouth shut. The scripture talks about be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath. What are you going to do? I'll talk, but not right now. We'll talk about it, not right now. I'm just going to smile a lot. God bless you.
Yeah, and if you have done that, you know, I mean, it'd be good to try to make it right.
You need to repent. The Bible says you need to repent. It's a sin.
Yeah.
You've sinned with your mouth, and you've sown some crop that's going to come up really bad big time mm-hmm. eventually. You don't want to do that, so... It's just real simple. I used to tell people to just take a month, go through Proverbs, get your highlighter. Every time a scripture talks about the mouth of the tongue, highlight it. If you'll do that for a month, you'll save your life. Life and death's in the power of the tongue. You know, I used to tell couples all the time, why would we have so much hell in our marriage? Because you can't shut your mouth. You know, a marriage license is not a permission slip to say anything to your spouse that hits your brain. They're still your brother and sister in the Lord. There's rules as what you can and cannot say. You know, mm-hmm. you can't say that to them. Just keep that to yourself. Are you trying to help somebody? Are you trying to help your spouse? Well, I'm trying to tell them what I think. Nobody cares what you think. And we'll close with that one, I guess.
Well, I was going to say the saying that my dad used to say, but it's not very, I'm going to just keep that one to myself.
Yeah, Daddy, we won't share that with you.
You know, the Southerners, we have some...
Yeah, we have some great sayings. There's a whole book somewhere that's been written.
And some that are like cursing people. You know, it's terrible. Well, anyway, so that is the end of today.
Yes.
But I did want to say thanks, partners, for making this
Thank you.
Possible. I can't even tell you how much you mean to us. Every time you hear us, it's made possible because of you. Thank
yes.
you so much
Thank
for
you,
that.
Partners.
And if you're interested in becoming a partner, please just go to joemcgee.com. And also, if you're interested in the book I talked about earlier, you can look at it there as well.
Yes, it's great.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. We'll
Thank
see you.
You
next Monday.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it. All there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.